As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Hard to ask, but especially with this injury, and you could see Steph testing it out. He didn't have his full apparatuses on his ankles, so just really doing some morning testing. But they're going to need more from him. And it's not because he's not delivering. He's been the best player in the series so far. It's just that the other facets of the Warriors' offense are not working.
Curry now has Williams on him, looking to unload it. Flips it up. Shot is good. Steph Curry dancing, prancing, and puts it in. And the Warriors up by three.
Ding, ding. How about we can just watch basketball?
Welcome to the Daily Ding. I'm your host, Andrew Schlecht. An incredible game four of the NBA Finals. Steph Curry just gets a stranglehold on the Celtics team in game four. Here to break it all down with me, I've got my good friend Will Guillory. Will, what's up?
Man, we've been talking all playoffs about all of these blowouts, all of these games where it's over in the fourth quarter, where we can start recording the pod halfway through the third. And this was just a great, great, great game. Great fourth quarter, all-time great Steph Curry. Just everything you want in the NBA Finals game.
Yeah, early on in the fourth, it felt like the Celtics had this game. And Warriors call a timeout. They get a couple possessions. And Klay Thompson hits a three, puts the Warriors up 95-94. And really, the Warriors don't look back from there. And part of that is Steph Curry was an absolute flamethrower in this game. He had some just absolutely ridiculous shots. I mean, he was just impossible tonight. He finished with 43 points, 10 boards, 4 assists on 7 of 14 from 3. I mean, he was the reason. It felt like Steve Kerr was just trying a bunch of stuff. Like, we saw Bielitsa in the game in the fourth quarter. He was pulling Draymond in and out of the game there at the end of the game, trying to see if he can ignite the offense. But honestly, it all came down to the reason that it worked is because Steph Curry. Like, that's it.
Exactly.
That's the reason.
I mean, this is what, you know, you want to see in the NBA Finals, an all-time great player in a moment where his team needs a win. I mean, everybody was kind of saying going into this game, hey, if Boston goes up 3-1, it's probably over, right? We all kind of felt that way after game three. And to see him step up the way he did, like you said, where Draymond's, again, not having a great game, Klay got off to a slow start, and it just felt like they were kind of fighting uphill the entire game, and Steph just kept him in it, just hitting these crazy leaning shots. He's hitting shots with guys draped over his back. He's pulling up, coming off of these screens. He looks like he's barely even looking at the goal, and he's splashing it. I mean, just an unbelievable game from one of the all-time great players. And I think we have to have the discussion, you know, could this possibly go down as his greatest playoff performance ever? I mean, it's not his playoff career high. He had 47 in the finals against Toronto. Well, that was a game where Klay didn't play and KD didn't play. But like I said, man, just the circumstances where it felt like the Warriors had their backs against the wall, and he comes out with 43 points on the road. I think it's up there for one of the greatest games he's ever played.
I mean, you stack that with, he was hurt coming into this game.
Right.
It was like a question of what he could even do, like what the mobility would be like after that like giant 8-car pileup that happened at the end of the last game. And man, he looked great. He looked great from the start. He was fired up from the opening minutes of the game and was in control for most of the time. And a lot of it was just the way that he played. And then also, man, the Boston Celtics went absolutely cold at the end of this game. There is a world where this game looks a lot like game one, mm-hmm. where Boston just ignites in the fourth quarter, because they had this kind of the same open shots that they did in game one, but like Derek White wasn't hitting them and Al Horford wasn't hitting them. And, you know, credit the Golden State Warriors defense tonight, because they really just didn't allow Jason Tatum to get the airspace in the fourth quarter. He had 5 shots in the fourth quarter. He was 1 of 5 and did not get the looks that he would have wanted. And honestly, like the last 5 minutes, where was Jason Tatum? Like, I kept asking myself that. Like, where is he?
It felt like he didn't even have the ball for that much. It felt like most of the offense was running through Jaylen Brown and Smart, which was weird. It was a lot of Tatum watching from the corner, which was really strange.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, credit to Jaylen Brown. I thought he played a good game, but the end looked pretty ugly. I mean, the Celtics were still in it, and then he fumbles the ball out of bounds in the corner. And he also had another turnover in the fourth quarter that just is becoming like a classic Jaylen Brown turnover, but it's just like a ball handling turnover. Yeah. And that's what killed the Celtics. If they have more than 15 turnovers in a game, it's a really tough for them to win. They had 16 tonight, and they're just not going to win games. And the Golden State Warriors turned the ball over a lot too. However, they had their guy on. And if the Celtics had 43 from one of their guys, I think it would have been their game. But this is the Steph Curry game. And one thing that Steph Curry will overshadow is how good Andrew Wiggins was.
Ooh, I had it written down. Shout out Wiggins.
He was great, man. He had a career high 16 rebounds, 3 of those offensive boards. But early on, when there was nothing going on for the Warriors, it was Wiggins. He was cooking in the first half, and he hit a couple pull-up threes. He was driving the lane. He was pushing in transition. He played a fantastic game from start to finish, and he was part of the reason why we're asking the question, where is Jason Tatum? Mm-hmm. Because he was the guy covering Tatum in that second half. And he was phenomenal on both ends tonight.
He did an excellent job. There were a couple times where Tatum tried to, you know, big boy him down in the post. Wiggins wasn't having it. And what I love so much about his game tonight is, what's the one thing we complained about so often throughout Andrew Wiggins' career is his lack of intensity, lack of aggression. Mm-hmm. I think tonight he played with so much aggression, attacking the boards, getting downhill, you know, running over people in the paint. There were a couple times where the Celtics were calling for charges on Andrew Wiggins' drives. Refs weren't giving it to him. I just love the way he just played with consistent aggression tonight, with consistent physicality. And you just see when he brings that, he's such a talented player. He's so gifted, you know, athletically, the things he can do on the court. And when he's playing with that mentality, it's just an excellent game from him. Excellent game from Steph. I want to give those guys the credit, but I just can't help to feel like the Boston kind of blew this game. I still feel like those last 5 minutes, ABC put up the graphic. Boston got outscored 17-3, you know, went 1 of 8 from the field. That one shot was the Al Horford corner three when they were already down by 6. It just felt like the game was right there for the taking, and they just let it slip away. Just a bunch of long three-pointers early in the shot clock, not a whole lot of downhill movement with their offense. It just felt like it got very stagnant there, and you can kind of see the pressure in the building, right? It just felt like those guys kind of froze up in a huge moment when it was kind of there for the taking for them. And now it's heading back to San Francisco 2-2. If this thing goes 7, 2 games in San Francisco, it feels like the Warriors went from, you know, on their way out to maybe they're in the driver's seat now, you know, heading into game 5.
It does feel that way. I mean, the Warriors really closed this game out by looking like the Warriors of old. You know, Steph hit a floater to put the Warriors up. Curry then hits this three, this monster three that lit Twitter on fire with about 2 minutes left in the game.
Brown pulls back. Brown drives again. Horford a straight on three. They've had some good looks, but the threes won't go down as Curry comes the other way. Curry to Green. Back to Curry. Step back. Three-pointer. Bang! Steph Curry drills the three. That's a six-point Warriors lead. Timeout Boston.
And then once the defense, you put two on the ball, Draymond was still in the game at this point. And this is where Draymond is at his best. Draymond gets the ball, drives, and dumps off a pocket pass to Looney, who gets a wide open layup. Like, that's Warriors basketball to me. It's like Steph Curry bending the defense so much that they have to throw everything at him. And then Draymond can actually be Draymond. Because the rest of this series and the rest of this game, Draymond was terrible. Like, they were defensively, they were going right at him. Offensively, he couldn't score if he wanted to. If he got paid $1 million a basket, he couldn't have done it.
I mean, he had a couple Ben Simmons plays down there, right? Where he was right under the basket and he kind of hot potatoed it away to Kevin Looney. It worked for him that last bucket at the end of the game where he kind of did the same thing, hot potatoed it to Kevin Looney, except Looney made the left-hand layup.
Yep.
I mean, Nicole Draymond, he played like shit again tonight. And I mean, we got to talk about Steve Kerr. I mean, the guts, we're talking about a future Hall of Famer maybe in Draymond Green, and they're subbing him out at the end of the game, offense, defense.
I loved it.
I mean, what a decision by Steve Kerr in a moment where they kind of needed that extra juice. And we're saying that Draymond just wasn't there for them offensively. If anything, he was a liability for a big part of this game. And the guts from Steve Kerr to say, hey, Draymond, I know you're going to have a lot to say about this in post game on your podcast, but I got to make the right decision for the team. And again, this is what we talk about when we went into this series, saying the championship moxie of this Warriors team, whether it be Steph, Steve Kerr, Draymond, Klay, all of these guys have been here in these moments and they know how to respond. And we saw it with Steph hitting all these shots tonight. And I think with Steve Kerr making that decision down the stretch where it gave them a little bit of life and he kind of prevented Draymond from kind of sabotaging them on the offensive end, which is something I don't think anybody really saw coming.
No, and physicality has been a tell in this series and in this playoffs. And I really thought that the Warriors were the more physical team, and you could see that on the offensive boards. This is what happened to the Warriors in game three.
Game three, yep.
And in this game, they had the Warriors at 16 offensive rebounds. A lot of that was Kevon Looney off the bench, was phenomenal tonight, like actually looked like he did the rest of the playoffs tonight. And then Draymond had some good offensive rebounds, and it was Andrew Wiggins. And to me, that physicality was a huge part of why the Warriors have tied this up and now feel like you said, like they could be in the driver's seat heading back to Golden State. I mean, this is big. The Chase Center is going to be on fire for game five.
And what's crazy, we were talking about, you know, them getting them big boy in the Celtics after they got big boy in game three. I felt like they were kind of getting thrown around in the first half of this game. I mean, Robert Williams goes into halftime with 10 rebounds, a couple blocks. Yep. You know, going into halftime, I was ready to come on the pod and just get off a couple Robert Williams takes about how great he's been. He was unbelievable tonight again on defense, you know, swatting away shots. His timing on those block shots have been so great. But again, like we said, man, Andrew Wiggins, Kevon Looney, the physicality they brought, the aggression they brought on the boards, it really changed the game. And Steph was able to just hit enough shots to get them over the hump. I mean, this has just been a crazy series, unbelievable series. And I was super excited for game four, man. Game five, I think it's going to be another all-timer. Because you got to think, like you said, Chase Center is going to be on fire for the Warriors. But we've seen it before with the Celtics team. They look terrible. They make a whole bunch of dumb decisions, and then they bounce back and get it done in the next game. What was the last time they lost two in a row? I don't even remember. It's been a minute. So I think they're going to come out with a great effort in game five. And I think this thing it's looked like we're going seven with this. And it's just been an unbelievable series for both sides.
Yeah, in the second half, the shooting for the Celtics was just so poor. They were 4 of 18 on above the break threes. 0 of 2 on the right corner, 3 of 4 on that left corner. That was our buddy Al. But they were just horrific in the second half. I mean, it was just really tough. And then you juxtapose that with how the Warriors shot in the second half, and it was just different. They shot almost 50% from the field in the second half, 21 of 43 to 35% for the Celtics. And to me, that's the story, because the Boston Celtics have more field goal attempts. They had the ball more than the Warriors did. They just missed. It just felt like they were missing everything, and not just like in and out, like missing badly. There was just no rhythm with the Celtics in the second half, where this, again, the Warriors felt like the Warriors. It felt like the rhythmic Warriors there at the end of the fourth quarter.
And what's so insane about this finals also is that I think we've gotten used to, especially over the last decade or even go beyond that, when we get to the finals, we're so used to seeing this undeniable greatness kind of taking hold in the finals. Last year, we saw it with Giannis. We saw it previously with these Warriors teams and the Cavs. And you can go back with even more teams, those Heat teams with LeBron. But this year, it feels like both of these teams are so good, but they're so deeply flawed as well, which is something we're not used to seeing in the finals with the Celtics. They're just constantly shooting themselves in the foot. Every other game, they're like 17, 18 turnovers, these Marcus Smart plays where he's driving in and then just kind of tossing it up for grabs. And then the Warriors on the other end, of course, Steph is playing at such an unbelievable level, but it feels like Steve Kerr is struggling at times to just get five guys on the court that he can trust, right? But I think their best players have been just so good, whether it be Steph or Andrew Wiggins or Looney. Those guys have been so good, but it just feels like it's been a struggle for Steve Kerr to figure this thing out. And I think, again, I think we're going to walk away from this final saying which one of these teams will not be able to get over their big flaw. Rather, where we're used to saying, hey, is Giannis just going to drop 50 in game six and win the finals? And it feels like that's not really here. It feels like one of these teams is going to walk away from this being like, man, we kind of threw away a great opportunity.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Discover the latest collections from David Yurman, as seen recently, styled on basketball stars like Jaime Jaquez, Jalen Green, D'Angelo Russell, and others. David Yurman is a celebrated American jewelry company inspired by the beauty of art, architecture, and the natural world. The story of David Yurman begins in New York City, with David, a sculptor, and his wife Sybil, a painter and ceramicist. When the artists began collaborating, their goal was to simply make beautiful designed objects to wear. Over 40 years later, the Yurmans and their son Evan continue to redefine American luxury jewelry with timeless, modern collections for women and men defined by inspiration, innovation, consummate craftsmanship, and Cable, the brand's artistic signature. David Yurman's collections are available on davidyurman.com. Are you struggling to close deals? B2B selling is tougher than ever, and that's why I want to tell you about LinkedIn Sales Navigator. LinkedIn Sales Navigator is a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect and engage high-value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals, and show you hidden allies so that you can find those buyers that are most likely to convert. Fueled by LinkedIn's 1 billion member platform, Sales Navigator gives you up-to-date first-party data, enabling you to unlock conversations with the people that matter. Right now, you can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/NBAshow23. That's linkedin.com/NBAshow23 for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/NBAshow23 and get started.
A couple more notes before we go. Klay Thompson finished with 18 points on 17 shots. Hit a few big ones in the fourth quarter. And then Ime Udoka called a challenge on a play where Steph Curry was on the drive, Al Horford defending, called the challenge. There's 46 seconds left, 5-point game. I like having the coach's challenge there in your back pocket there at the end. I didn't know that that was really the play to challenge, but if you're going to use it, like time's running out to do it. So it was cool to see a challenge in a high leverage situation, although it was a pretty quick one. I think you could tell pretty quickly there was a foul on Al.
Yeah, that was like the Hail Mary pass right there on that challenge, yeah. For sure.
Yeah, it was. That's going to do it for today's show. The Saturday Slam and Jam is next. We're talking to Jake Fisher about trade rumors and draft rumors. That's coming up right after this, so tune in for that. And Will, send us out.
Oh, take me to game 5 right now. Ding, ding.
He's now with Lisa.
Thank you, Mike. Steph, I just saw you let out a big yell. What are you feeling right now?
A lot of pride in our group. A lot of talk over the last 48 hours about how we can get back into the series and win in this building. Finally figured out our fourth quarter to get some stops and execute on the other end. But it's crazy because I still feel like we can play just a little bit better.